You're listening to Dr. Bill Cortestis and Dr. Gaurav Bahardi on It's Complicated, the podcast that uncomplicates the mental and physical aspects of life and the aesthetic surgery to help anyone committed to achieving their personal best. Through the stories of the past and present patients, Drs. Cortestis and Bahardi share their unique vision for the future of aesthetic medicine and bring perspective for the leading edge of medicine, innovation, and entrepreneurship.
Hey, everybody. We got a really interesting episode today, and we're going to be talking about complications. Bill, what is a complication when it comes to plastic surgery?
Well, gee, having dealt with a lot of your patients, I know what a complication really is. No, we're going to talk some serious shop here with plastic surgery today and talk about what is a complication, how we deal with it. And we're going to tell it from the doctor's side as well as the patient side. And unfortunately, it's surgery. It's medicine. Things don't always go exactly as planned with the healing process. And it's that part of our job that is, I would say, frustrating in a way, because we want everything to be perfect. We want it to be exactly what the patient wants. We want them to have the best outcome with the best experience. But unfortunately, things happen. And you know, in my world, a complication is something that doesn't go as planned, or the healing process doesn't go exactly the way you want it to be. How would you describe it?
I agree with you. And, you know, given that you can do something as perfect as you could imagine, the case could go flawless, and yet you can't predict how somebody's going to heal. You can't predict an action they may take or some movement they may have, and something could go wrong, or that something could be just perfect for like months, and then all of a sudden there's like this change to it. And I think there's so many analogies to like real life. I mean, we've both had this new experience of actually building a home, for example. When you're building a house, you would think that it would just be, everything's all organized, the subcontractors would come in, everything goes up, boom, 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 timetable, it's all done. When in fact, there's stuff going crazy all the time. There's issues here. There's supply chain problems. There's something that doesn't follow the plan. Something doesn't end up happening. But at the end of the day, it ends up going up. You end up getting what you want. But sometimes you got to go a circuitous route. Or when you're driving down the highway, you're on vacation and you're expecting to get to your destination within 8 to 9 hours. And there's horrible traffic jams and all these crazy routes you have to take. Or you get a flat tire. And surgery is very similar. Those things that happen in real life always do happen in surgery also, but really what defines a good surgeon, a good outcome, is how you handle those things along the way. And I think that if people understand that, it makes it a lot less scary.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, it's one thing that we talk about in our practice all the time is how do you manage that patient? And for us, it's pretty easy. We're there, we're seeing them all the time. We're making sure that we get them to that finish line. And that finish line is exactly where they wanted to be to begin with, right? And to your point, they might not get there exactly the time frame that we wanted them to get there, but they will get there. And if you have a caring, experienced surgeon who knows what they're doing, you can end up getting them to the end point.
You know, there's some interesting things. So when someone is having a complication, we'll talk about what some complications are. But if someone is having a complication issue, what happens? Like, what do you do if somebody's having a problem or somebody calls and you can hear it and you know what they're saying? You're like, something's not right.
The first thing you got to do is recognize it. Like, this is not right. Right. And that takes an experienced surgeon to know, okay, this is not going exactly as planned. This is not the normal healing process we see. And that's why we see our patients pretty soon after surgery, right?
When in doubt, check it out, right? That's what we teach our fellows and our residents. I don't care if you're sleeping in the middle of the night. If there's a problem and you're not sure, you got to evaluate it. Because the what if is something you never want to have.
What are some of those things, G? Like, what are those things that, you know, we see right away?
You know, one of the big ones is something called a hematoma or a fluid collection, where you do a surgery, like something like a tummy tuck or something like a facelift, anywhere where you've created some space. And there could be little tiny blood vessels that after surgery could potentially start leaking a little bit if they weren't controlled, or if there's a big blood pressure swing. So somebody's blood pressure goes really high at home. And so you can imagine that something under a lot of pressure could dislodge a clot and you could have bleeding. And so what happens is that patient could have an area where they're like, you know, everything was looking good, but all of a sudden I felt a pop. I felt a little funny afterwards and it just feels more full. That is never a, we'll check on it the next day. The answer is,
come on in.
Come on in. And I'll tell you, we have lives outside and we have families and we have other obligations. But I'll tell you, when I know something isn't exactly how it needs to be, it is 100% the most satisfying thing to know that we have the infrastructure, we have the team. All our team are willing to come in anytime, like in the middle of the night, boom, we got the whole entire crew that comes in. It's like just this organized machine. But when you take care of a patient having an issue and that patient looks in your eye and they're kind of scared and worried and you're like, don't worry, we're addressing this. And then you fix it. There's nothing more satisfying because you can sleep again. You know what I mean? And so when there's a problem, like our thought is, and we try to educate them that, listen, when there's an issue or there's a problem or somebody's concerned, pounce on it and you can address it.
You just take care of it, right? You see the patient, you manage it, you take care of it, you take care of them, you do the right thing, you make sure you get them through this and everything's going to be okay in the end. And that's what we tell them. We're here for them. Say, recognize it, see them early, take care of the issue. And, you know, hematoma is one of those things where you just never know. It can happen at any point in time. It's like a little bomb that could go off.
What are some of the other ones that you would be the classic complications and then maybe some of the more rare ones?
Fluid collection, you mentioned, you know, mm-hmm. what we call a seroma, you know, after any sort of body contouring procedure, your body doesn't like this empty space that we create and it wants to fill it up with fluid. So you can kind of get a little, that's why we leave drains in place. So after the drain removal, occasionally you'll get this little fluid collection. I consider that a pretty nominal complication because mm-hmm. it can be easily taken care of in the office with a little needle aspiration. Some of the ones that people worry about are skin not healing well. So what mm-hmm. we call necrosis or death of the skin. So anytime you pick up any skin or elevate it, what we call in surgery, we take the blood vessels off away from it. And potentially it has this chance of not making it or dying. And mm-hmm. that is one of these unnerving complications that, you know, patients really don't want to hear about or see. Mm-hmm. But knowing that if it does happen, you know we have the tools to be able to take care of it. We can get the patient through it. We can get through the healing process. And then subsequently, and those occasions, the scars don't end up being the perfect scars, but we end up fixing them.
And, you know, the biggest thing too is, you know, informing a patient about these things before the fact. If they have no earthly idea that this could happen and then it happens, they're just taken aback. But if they can understand that and know, and then you preface it and they know that we can get through this and address it, I think it's important. And a lot of these things, we can do things to prevent them. And also patients can also. So one of the concepts you were talking about, that necrosis or skin loss, you know, biggest risk factors for that are things that patients could be actually doing prior to the procedure, i.e. use of nicotine, use of anything combustible products from a smoking standpoint, vaping, all those things could potentially affect it. Diabetes, different things that where they can actually adjust their lifestyle to limit those things. So that's why it's so important to have some of those discussions, because some of these complications you can actually reduce. How about with breasts, you know, breasts and breast implants? What kind of comps have you seen with that? And what are the common things and how serious are those or not serious?
I mean, I think any complication is serious because it affects the patient's total outcome. And obviously there's different levels of severity. And when it comes to breasts and breast implants aren't made to be forever. Gee, you know, it's one of the first things we tell patients is like, right. Listen, you're having this surgery, you're going to have them removed or replaced at some time. This is not a forever product. And you need to know that you're buying yourself another operation. Guaranteed, no matter what. You're doing the first one, you're buying yourself another one down the line. There's maintenance when it comes to it. And why is that? And that these implants don't last forever. You know, sometimes they can rupture. They can be what we call malposition, where they kind of move around and they're not exactly where they need to be. Sometimes your body kind of creates a scar tissue around there. You get this buildup of excessive scar tissue that can harden the breast or even mm-hmm. disform or make the breast look kind of odd or misshapen in a way. Or the breast itself can shift with aging. How do you talk to patients about that, G?
Similar way. And I think the most important thing that I say, and this is with patients in general, with wherever you're taking care of them, that there are different kinds of, quote, complications, meaning there can be minor and major, And it's pretty understandable the differences between those, mainly that the major can be more devastating, scary things like blood clots, DVTs. And, you know, there are different things that we've done to try to minimize those, like for big body contouring procedures, i.e. keeping patients overnight, putting squeezers on their legs, which are called SCDs, sequential compression devices, walking the patient. Most important thing we can do. And then we also even put them on blood thinners versus minor complications. Minor complications are things like, you know, little scar issue, redness of the scar, thickening of the scar, lumps or bumps or contour regularities. All those things can be taken care of. And all of them, like Bill said, are super important because our goal is to try to have patients be as happy as possible afterwards and have no regrets. And I think that with regards to breast and body, the thing that happens actually after the fact, meaning a couple months, years, decades after, is that things can change. The body is so dynamic. Patients can gain weight. They can lose weight. They can have other medical issues going on. And that's the interesting thing about this is especially with something like breast implants, is that the whole breast could be changing. And that's kind of one of the reasons why, Bill and I think that if you do have breast implants, patients need to know, like, they aren't forever devices and everything else is going to be changing around them. So they may warrant the implants to be tightened, lifted, removed, exchanged, breasts to be reduced, or implants just can be completely gone and do fat grafting. I think that patients need to know that. And sometimes a peculiar thing about implants and this concept of capsular contracture, which Bill mentioned, which is a scar around the breast implants, some patients, so if they're having tightening of the breast, the implants are sitting high or one's sitting really high. So you go in there and release one side. And what happens then is the capsule's released and then the implants can actually fall lower. And so there are some patients who actually prefer them sitting high. So they almost prefer a capsular contracture versus a soft implant. So it's kind of this interesting concept that everyone has to be careful when dealing with an issue, dealing with a complication, because you can lead yourself down a different tract. And so I think even though when we're going to entertain and do something new for a patient to correct or improve something, we still have to have that discussion. Hey, just so you know, this could lead to this. What are your thoughts on that? You get what I'm talking about, right, Bill?
Yeah, it's one of these things where every action has a subsequent reaction to it, right? And so, you know, the way I approach it with every patient is like, listen, these are the benefits of this procedure and this is the risk. And I tell you what, whenever the benefits and the risk are equivocal and they're in the same line, mm-hmm. I say, hey, whoa, I don't know if this is a good idea. For me, I like benefits being really high and risk being really low. And then I'm like, oh, green light, go. Let's go. We can do this. I think this is a really good case to do. The vice versa. If the risks are high and the reward's low, I tell the patients, I'm like, I don't know if it's worth it to do this. And I think that's one of the most powerful things we can tell patients is no. No, 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 we're not doing this. We're not doing this. This is not going to be good for you. I don't think it's going to work. And I think they respect you for it long term. And so because it's real, we've seen it. We've been in practice long enough to know that complications can happen. They will happen. And so for us, it's about preventing them. And everybody always asks, like, how do you do things in the OR? And it's very similar to kind of flying a plane. We do things by checklist. We mentioned Johan said previously, his famous line that he said to me, and I have taken it to use as my own here lately, as like, I want things vanilla. I want them simple, straightforward. I want exactly the same way in the OR. So it's right. Predictable, right? Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to achieve is predictability from what I do in the OR to the outcome. And I think the more predictable you are with your techniques and your procedures, the less likely you're going to have a complication. But even with that, you know, these complications occur. But again, it's all about, how do we make things as predictable as possible? And that's how kind of we approach things.
Yeah, you know, and the interesting thing about this and the correlation with real life is just uncanny. When we have an issue, when we have a complication, I think patients need to know how much it affects us. I mean, it's like you and I and our team and our other providers, I mean, we just go on high alert. When you see, you know, you hear, you find out something isn't right and you just want to take care of it. And it keeps us up at night and we don't want them. We don't want any patient to have any issue. And if there's even a remote chance that something operative can improve it, we're all in because that's our tried and true. But there are instances where reoperating acutely could cause more damage. And that's an interesting tension that I face sometimes. And Do you have that same kind of issue sometimes, Bill, where you just want to do something because more than anything, you just want that patient to have exactly what they need and not have any issues, but sometimes you just need to slow your roll.
Yeah. I mean, we perseverate on these complications, right? It's like, all right, what happened? What went wrong? We've done this exactly the same way forever. Why did this occur? What thing can I do now to stop it and to fix it and to get you back to kind of the baseline or back to where you wanted to be as fast as possible? And I think one of the beauties of our practice, and this is why I love practicing with UG and our other surgeons, is we have each other to lean on because you are perseverating about it. And it's always better to have multiple heads looking at something and saying, okay, this is what I want to do. This is how I approach it. This is what we should do. And it is not uncommon that if we have something that goes wrong, we involve everybody in the practice. It's a team approach. And that's what I love about HKB is for us, it's a team approach to take care of that patient.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's nice to have kind of checks and balances and get other people's opinions because sometimes you get in tunnel vision and you don't see the bigger picture. Or incorporate and get others' input, it really allows you that second to pause, reflect, and make a better decision or to consider other options. And I think, again, this is an important concept in real life. This is an important concept that even hospitals employ also, where everybody has a voice. Sometimes, you know, our staff, our supporting staff, they have phenomenal ideas, concepts, suggestions, and it is important to empower others along the way so that we can provide the level of care that we need to. The interesting thing about this is that, you know, we're talking about this and it's like, oh my God, plastic surgeons talking about complications. What's going on? The truth is actually, our patients who have those, and we are very critical. So I think sometimes we will call something a complication, patients won't even pick up on, won't even see there's an even remote issue, but that's what makes it better. Meaning you see something like this needs to be addressed, adjusted, improved. You know, even something like a little standing skin deformity, AKA a dog ear on an area, like we don't like that. We don't want that. And it's a simple thing to address versus something more difficult or more kind of severe from a standpoint. And a patient has to do something, has to have a bigger intervention. I will tell you that some of mine, some of yours, some of all of our other partners' best patients are ones that had issues. But we work together, we deepen the relationship, we addressed it, and they're our number one, you know, bell ringers. I mean, they are our biggest advocates. And I think that's such a powerful thing. I mean, Bill, I mean, do you have any kind of stories or patients you could talk about that, you know, are like that, where, you know, they've had issues and it just surprises you sometimes?
Unfortunately, I can say that I've had a number of complications. I've been practicing for a really long time and I've seen it. And there are a few that I can think of at the top of my head. And, you know, we could be here for hours kind of chatting about it. But in essence, you know, the way I approach this, and I think you do it exactly the same way, is put ourselves in that patient's shoes. What would you want done? Sense how scared they are with what's happening. Have a little empathy towards them and say, you know what? I'm your surgeon. You picked me. I'm going to take care of you. We're going to get you through this. It's going to be okay. This team is going to take care of you. And so it's going to be awesome. I think I spooked him. He's like, peace out. His internet's been acting up though. You could tell it was like a little spotty here and there. Did you pay your internet bill? I think you got that cheap internet service. I think it's a problem with technology. Look at that. He's back. I mean, it's just one of those real life things. You're recording a podcast and the Wi-Fi just goes out. What do?
Go to the mobile device. Yeah, it's kind of, it's interesting. It is a real life situation. Complications are really interesting things. And
there we are again with a frozen Gaurav Bahardi. But what we can say is, and what we're going to do in this podcast is talk about real life complications, how life is complicated, and how we're going to share, you know, stories in our personal lives. We're going to share stories about patients and their experiences and how we got through that. And we're going to bring on friends and colleagues in our industry and talk about things that are complicated in their world. And this is going to be a fun podcast. So let's talk about this. G, roll with me for a second. I think one of the hardest complications is when the patient loses trust in you and your abilities and what you're doing and ends up seeking other advice. And unfortunately, that does happen occasionally. Gee, how do you deal with that, you know, personally, and how do you discuss those issues with the patient?
You know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, to let them know that I'm glad that you decided to get another opinion. I always respect that. And I think it's important for you to feel good about it. And if you prefer to have another provider take care of you, you absolutely have my blessing. But let me just review kind of what you discussed, because I still have an interest in your outcome and your health and you being safe. And I think that's where I would start it. And this to let them know that, you know, at the end of the day, I would prefer to take care of you because I have that responsibility. But if you don't have that trust, if there's a concern on your end, then you have to follow your gut. I'm a big believer in visceral feeling and emotion, and I don't want there to be a distrust. I think if there's ever a distrust or tension, I want to relieve that before I ever would consider doing anything surgical for a patient or enter into any kind of relationship, you know, in life.
You know, I would say that's 100% exactly right. Like for us, is like we want them to get taken care of first and foremost. And as long as they're with somebody who we trust and we believe in, you know, I feel comfortable with them going elsewhere. We like to take care of patients. We want them to be heard and taken care of and make sure that they get through this. But if they've lost trust and they really want to go elsewhere, you know, we say, please do. We just want you to be happy and taken care of and feel like you're getting the end result you want.
Yeah, I agree. And I think sometimes that takes more than one interaction and visit. And then other times we're humble. And so I think we're willing to talk to other docs. I mean, other patients with complications come and see us from other docs. And the first thing you and I'll do is pick up the phone, call them, give them a heads up. Let's chat about this. You know, if there's something that I was concerned about or suggestions, like at the end of the day, we're not in competition. This is a unique, special field that we all need to be collaborative and help each other. Hence, most of the reason why you and I are wanting to grow and create a ecosystem that is both beneficial for us, for our patients, and for providers. Like, we got to look out for each other. We got to take care of each other. And I think that's something that's important for us to remember. And rising tide lifts all. These simple concepts, they're real. So you should never pass judgment on something that's happened that you had nothing to do with. Now, there might be certain situations where there may be something done egregiously, but usually it's not. Usually these providers are all good. Their intent is to improve and help somebody.
Yeah, the best thing you just said is pick up the phone and call that person and let the patient know and say, hey, ask them, are you okay with me calling your doc and letting them know that I saw you and this is what my thoughts are around this? Because I know if my patient went somewhere else, well, I would like them to know that I want to take care of them. I want that doc to call me. And collaboration is key, right? And we're in this thing together. And like we mentioned before, we have this group practice, which is fantastic. We can lean on each other. A lot of other providers are kind of in solo practice. So they're isolated by themselves on an island. And our approach has always been, we're here to help, always. You know, if somebody says, will you see a patient? We're like, heck yeah, bring them in.
That's not just surgery. I mean, we'll have other injectors. We'll have like a vascular occlusion or a compromise and they're afraid, don't know what to do. It doesn't matter. It's anytime that you or we can help and take care of each other's patients, it's a time to just do it. Don't worry about all the other noise behind it, because there is a patient at the heart of the story that needs care. And, you know, if somebody's having trouble treading water in that ocean, you got to bring in that life boat or that vest and try to provide assistance no matter who they are. And I think that's the right approach.
Bill, what do you do and how do you approach a patient when they actually did something to lead to a complication?
You know, G, you bring up a very good point. And my approach has always been, I don't know what happened here. It could have been me. It could have been you, even though you know it might have been them. And I always say, I don't know, could have been me, could have been you, but we are where we're at and we're going to fix it. Mm-hmm. And this is what's going on. I don't lay blame on anything in life, on anyone or anything. I always take personal responsibility. And that's just the way I approach life. It's like, all right, we're just going to take care of it. And it always goes uphill, right, G? And it's like, it's always on you and me. And yeah, in the end, we got to take care of that patient. We always got to do the right thing. And we just handle it. And that's just the way it is. I think a lot of this stuff always comes down to financial responsibility. And that discussion is pretty difficult in regards to, okay, what are the financial responsibilities for this complication? And how do you have that discussion with the patient?
Yeah, you know, I think that the key is being honest, open, and also just when there's a complication issue, that trumps everything. It needs to get addressed, right? I mean, that's the most important thing, is to not ignore it. And most of the things that you and I do and other providers do should withstand the test of time and most exertion. Now, there are crazy stories and things that you and I have had patients do, and you're like, you did what? I mean, you're just like, oh my gosh, that's not good. Or, you know, and this definitely did lead to it, but it's all good. Let's fix it. Let's get it addressed. And patients usually know. They're not going to try to, they're going to say, I messed up. And, you know, in that situation, we're not going to say, well, sorry, pay up and we'll take you to the OR. Or no, we're just going to let this, you know, hematoma expand, or your incision that's broke down, leave it open. That's never the case. We're going to address it. Now, if something's an emergent complication needs to go, we just take care of it. We don't give a damn about costs. We want that patient to be taken care of. I mean, just that's how our practice always has been. And in the situation where there's an issue and it needs to get addressed, and we could probably do it under local, we still usually just, it's a wash. We just address it. But sometimes there's times when maybe they want anesthesia. Maybe we need to make sure that our hard costs are covered. Then that's what we do. But, you know, that's just us. You know, we can't speak for other providers, but I think we just try to do the right thing all day long. And as long as we feel good about it, it's all good. This is about a patient. This is about a great outcome and just doing the right thing, and also handling it in life and other situations. What's really important about what we have in our practice is, like, if I'm away, I'm out of town, patient's having a complication, the answer is not, well, when I get back, we'll take care of it. It's, all right, Bill's going to see you. He's going to take care of it today. And we've always done that. And I'm blessed for that. My patients are blessed for that. And then our other providers also may not even realize how blessed they are to have that kind of infrastructure. But that's an important piece, that it doesn't matter. 24/7, we're around. We're here. We'll address it.
Thanks for listening to It's Complicated. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, write a review, and share the show with your friends.
If you've learned something and the show has helped you, or if there's something complicated that you'd like to hear us discuss in an upcoming episode, we'd love to hear from you. So send us an email at podcast@hkbsurgery.com or DM us on Instagram at @hkbcosmeticsurgery. Links to everything we discussed today on today's episodes are included in the show notes.
Links to learn more about anything mentioned on today's show are available in the show notes. To learn more about Dr. Bill Cortesis and Dr. Gaurav Bahardi and the entire team of HKB Cosmetic Surgery, just go to hkbsurgery.com or follow HKB on Instagram at @hkbcosmeticsurgery. Subscribe to our newsletter for key takeaways from each episode, links to any resources we discuss, and promo codes or giveaways from HKB and our partners. If this show has helped you in any way, if you learned something, write a review on Apple Podcasts and share the podcast with a friend. Take a screenshot of this podcast episode with your phone and show it at your consultation or appointment, or mention the promo code PODCAST to receive $25 off any service or product of $50 or more. It's Complicated is a production of The Axis, THEAXIS.io.